presenting Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves.
CX-4 calling control tower. CX-4 calling control tower. Standing by.
Control tower, back to CX-4. Wind southeast, ceiling 1200. All clear.
Okay, this is Hop Harrigan coming in.
Yes, it's America's ace of the airways, coming in for another transcribed episode in the adventures of Hop Harrigan.
6 years ago, the Army Air Forces decided that a new type of landing gear was needed to permit planes to land and take off from rugged, bumpy, uneven fields. So a track-type landing gear, much like the tracks used on Army tanks, was tried out on a Douglas bomber. It worked on this medium-sized plane. And now, in 1947, the Fairchild Aircraft Division, working with the Army Air Forces at Wright Field in Ohio, is testing a track landing gear on a big Fairchild C-82 Packet. This is the twin-engine troop and cargo carrier that is now standard for the Army Air Forces. The new landing gear is composed of a tread 14 inches wide on the plane's nose assembly, 19 inches wide on the main landing assembly, where the big landing wheels would usually be found. This tread is made of synthetic rubber reinforced with steel cables, and the landing tracks are retractable, just as the landing wheels were. In other words, the packet equipped with the new landing gear is not slowed down in the air by excess bulk. The new gear disappears when the plane is in flight just as neatly as regular wheels. It does weigh more, however, increasing the plane's total weight by more than 1,000 pounds. But this is offset by the plane's ability to land and take off on sand, mud, or rough fields. With a load of fully equipped troops, the packet can land almost anywhere and deposit armed men where they're needed most. Thus, the new track gear puts cargo planes into the frontline class along with gliders. More later, so don't forget to listen. And now to our story. Morning dawns bright and clear over Lakeville after a troubled night. Hop and Tank are in the kitchen of Aunt Agatha's house across the road from the airport, their eyes heavy and minds foggy from lack of sleep. Hop quickly drains his coffee and then holds the empty cup across the table to his mechanic pal, who's busy wolfing down a second helping of scrambled eggs.
Fill her up for me again, will you, Tank? You're closer to the percolator.
Oh, sure. You didn't sleep good, did you, Hop?
No. Every time I closed my eyes, I dreamt someone was trying to steal that envelope, or the boy was trying to run away again. I'd wake up in a cold sweat.
Yeah. Major McCall's coming today. He'll take the load off your shoulders.
I certainly hope so.
You still got the envelope, ain't you?
Oh, yes. It's right here in my jacket pocket. I even took it to bed with me last night.
Oh, here you are.
Oh, good morning, Aunt Agatha.
Morning.
I wondered where you were. My, you got up early.
No, we couldn't sleep.
Oh, dear. Hop?
Yeah?
The boy is awake.
Chris?
Now, how many boys do we have here, Tang?
How does he feel?
Well, he's asking for his father.
Uh-oh. All right. Guess I'd better go up and see him.
Hop, would you rather I told him?
No, this is my job.
Maybe I should go with you.
No, Tank. Thanks, just the same.
Okay. Good luck.
Break it to him gently, dear. He's very nervous and high-strung.
I'll do my best, Aunt Agatha. See you later.
Slowly, reluctantly, Hop leaves the kitchen, walks down the hall, starts upstairs. On the upper landing, he pauses, staring at the door to the boy's room. For a split second, his courage fails him, and he starts to turn back. But, squaring his shoulders and taking a deep breath, he walks forward, knocks on the door, opens it, and steps inside. He sees the boy standing by the window, a pathetic figure, in pajamas many sizes too big for him.
Good morning, Chris. Do you feel better now?
Where's Dad? Where's my father?
Well, come on, let's sit down and talk for a while. You can trust me, Chris.
All right, but I want to know where my father is. Why isn't he here?
I promise, I'll tell you all about it. Here, let's sit on the bed. Chris, do you remember what happened yesterday?
Yes. We were on our our way to Washington, Dad was hurt. But we had to keep on flying. There wasn't an envelope we had to take to Washington.
Do you know what was in the envelope?
No, I don't. Where's my father? Why won't you let me see him?
Please, wait, Chris. Tell me what else happened.
We ran into a fog. I think we were lost. Then Dad made me put on a parachute. I didn't want to bail out. Honest, I didn't.
Of course not.
Please, I want to see him.
Well, do you remember what happened after that?
I think he called to me. Said he was over an airport. Then... Oh, I can't remember. Where's my father? Please, where is he?
Chris, you're 13 years old, aren't you?
Going on 14.
You've probably seen and done a lot of things other young fellows your age couldn't possibly have experienced.
Well...
You're pretty grown up for your age. At least I hope you are.
I'm all mixed up. I want to see Dad.
You can't.
I can't.
Chris, your father couldn't come in. The fog was too thick. He didn't see the runway until it was too late.
He crashed.
Yes.
He was hurt.
Very badly.
I've got to see him. I've got to.
No, Chris. It's too late.
Oh, no. Not Dad.
I'm sorry, Chris.
No. Not Dad. Not Dad.
Go ahead, pal. Let it go.
I don't believe it. It couldn't be Dad.
Chris.
Leave me alone, please.
Look, Chris.
Please, leave me alone.
Okay. I'll see you later. I'll be downstairs, Chris. Call me if you want anything. Oh, Lord, please make it easy for him, will you? Yes, Hank.
Did you tell him?
Yeah.
How'd he take it?
Pretty hard. He's a great kid, though, Tank. Got real stuff in him.
Why'd you leave him alone?
He didn't want me to see him cry.
Oh. Gosh. Makes me feel like crying.
Yeah. Let's go inside.
Yeah. Oh, I meant to tell you, Major McCall's here.
Oh, good.
He's in the living room with Aunt Agatha.
Uh-oh.
Yes?
The Major's here.
Fine.
Hello there, Hop.
Hello, sir. It's good to see you again.
Same here, boy.
Oh, Hop. You told Chris?
Yes.
Oh, well, then I'd better go up to him.
No, not right away, Aunt Agatha. Leave him alone for a while.
Oh, land sakes alive. I raised you two, didn't I? I know how to take care of youngsters. He'll want to talk to someone real soon. He needs a mother, and that's just what I'm here for.
Okay. Thanks, Aunt Agatha.
Here. Sit down, Hop. You look worn out.
It's the toughest 5 minutes I ever spent.
He's a good boy. He'll come through all right.
Oh, you know him, sir?
Yes, I've met him several times. He and his father were very close.
That's what made it so tough. Then you know what this is all about, sir?
I do. But first, where's that envelope?
Oh, right here.
Thanks. Boy, I'm certainly glad it's safe.
You know what's in it?
I know what I expect to find in it.
Well, the Tank's dying of curiosity, sir.
Oh, you're kidding. So are you. You're going to tell us, ain't you, sir?
Yes, I'll tell you now. Sit down and relax. I'm going to tell you about one of the most amazing discoveries of our time. Something which traces back to the 12th century and may soon revolutionize our entire concept of flight.
Tapping the vital envelope against the palm of his hand, Major McCall underscores his words, and the boys sit forward attentively, waiting to hear what he has to say. You'll hear it yourselves in just a moment, gang, so stand by. Did you ever hear of a flying runway? Well, that's what Army flyers call the unique track-type landing gear, which has just recently been installed on a Fairchild Packet. You know the Fairchild Packet. It's the big, low-slung troop carrier with two engines and a twin tail assembly. The body of this plane looks rather like a flying boxcar, and it can carry a sizable task force of fully armed and equipped men. Well, the Fairchild people, working with the Army Air Forces, have fitted this revolutionary track landing gear to one of these big packets. The gear is in three parts, one with a 14-inch tread for the plane's nose, and two with 19-inch treads for the main landing gear to replace the two big wheels. Of course, this track gear is heavier than wheels. It adds about 1,000 pounds to the packet's gross weight of 54,000 pounds. So you might wonder why the Air Forces are so interested in this equipment. What the track gear does is simply this. It reduces the plane's pressure per square inch on the ground. That sounds complicated, doesn't it? But it's easy to explain. You see, with wheels, there are 60 pounds of pressure on the ground for every square inch of tire surface that touches. Now, when you take off the wheels and substitute the broad, flat track, this pressure per square inch is reduced to only 20 pounds. This means that a packet with track gear can land or take off on softer earth or sand that would bog down a plane with wheels, even a wheel-equipped plane three times lighter than the packet. So the Army Air Forces is happy to trade 1,000 pounds of added gross weight for this decrease in on-the-ground pressure, which permits a packet with tracks to land almost anywhere. Fellas and girls, with these new advances in aviation, you'll want to learn to fly very soon. And always remember, America needs flyers. And now back to our story. Major McCall is about to tell Hop and Tank the strange story behind the secret envelope. But before he does, he asks a question.
Tell me, has either of you ever heard of the Channel Wing?
The which?
Channel Wing? No, sir, I haven't.
Me neither.
Well, it's a new type airfoil, completely different from any you've ever seen. It was invented during the war, and we've tested it at Wright Field in complete secrecy. Its performance is amazing.
What's so amazing about it?
Imagine the number 8, both of you.
Huh? Yes, sir?
Now cut it lengthwise, right down the middle, through both loops.
Hey, what is this?
Hank, please, listen.
Oh, sorry, sir.
Now you have 2 half loops remaining. Turn the half loops on their side, put a fuselage between them where they come together, and your propellers directly in the loops on either side of the fuselage. There's your channel wing plane.
What kind of a pipe dream is that?
Tank.
Oh, it sounds crazy.
Yes, it does, but she flies, Tank. The channel wing will permit takeoffs and landings at speeds of 15 miles an hour or less, and at the same time can reach supersonic speed safely.
Great, Scott. I don't get it.
Well, I have a full report on the wing here. I brought it for you to read. It'll give you the background of the Army's interest in Mr. Cross and his discovery. But now to get on with his story. As you probably know, he was an archaeologist.
Yes, sir.
His specialty was Mayan culture down in Mexico.
Well, who's the Mayans?
They were a tribe of Indians who built an amazingly modern civilization dating back to the year 300, long before America was even discovered.
Wow.
They progressed, built an empire. Then it declined. They moved northward to what is now known as the province of Yucatan in Mexico and began a new civilization. This Renaissance, or Second Empire, was, you might say, Albert Cross's meat. He spent many months down there, searching through the ruins. Now, last year, he found something very odd. He found a certain wall covered with drawings. He couldn't quite make out their meaning, so he copied them roughly and brought them back. By coincidence, these rough drawings came to the attention of Air Intelligence, and we knew at once we had something.
What?
Something that would tie in directly with our experiments on the Channel Wing. Strangely enough, the Mayans, knowing absolutely nothing about flight, nor that someday man would fly, had made drawings and designs of a modern airfoil.
Oh, brother.
Then what, sir?
We sent him back immediately. Financed the expedition for the purpose of bringing back the entire wall, or else making a complete replica of it by means of photographs and scale drawings.
And that's what's in the envelope?
I believe so.
Well, come on, open it. Let's have a look.
Tank, control yourself.
Boy, what a lot of stuff.
Pictures, drawings.
Good Lord.
Huh? What's the matter?
They aren't complete. Half of them are gone.
With papers in both hands and photographs spread out on the table before him, Major McCall makes an astounding statement. Half of them gone? But how's it possible? The envelope didn't leave Hop's possession for a second. Gang, our adventure takes a startling turn in the next episode, so be sure to listen. Tune in and fly with Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves. So long, Hop. We'll be seeing you same time, same mutual station. Hop Harrigan is a transcribed copyrighted feature appearing in All American Comics magazine.